If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. Today is our last message in our healing series. And of course, those are online. I do encourage you to avail yourself to those. This being the fourth message, it'll get you out of the sickness that you're in. It'll get you into healing, but it also will keep you in healing. And God is a healer. God's been a healer all throughout time. He's revealed himself as such, you know. In Exodus 15, he let the world know. He says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Translated in the Hebrew would be, "I am Jehovah Rapha," you know. Stop arguing with him. If he says he's a healer, let him be a healer. None of you argue with me when I tell you I'm short. You say, that's what he is. We know that's who he is. That's what he is. There's no getting by it. That's who Pastor Mike Anderson is. Well, when God says I'm a healer, don't argue with him. He wants to heal. He desires to heal. But we have a part to play, and we're learning our parts. And so that's what we got into. And so let's pray before the message this morning. Believe him for utterance, boldness, and to get everything out of it that we need. Father, help us this morning. We know that you are on our side, Father. You have set us up to succeed, given us the Holy Ghost. Father, making salvation so simple, but Father, also not leaving us here to wander and to wonder. Father, you gave us a spiritual GPS. You gave us a spiritual roadmap, a spiritual compass that takes us to the destinations that you want for us. Things like salvation, eternal life, divine healing, prosperity, peace of mind. Father, situations turn, divine protection, long life, Father, favor. All these things, Lord, you've given us the coordinates for in your word. Why? Because, Father, you didn't want us to leave us here in the dark, to leave us on our own devices and to our own ways. Father, we thank you for the word. It is our roadmap to success. It is our GPS to victory. And Father, we thank you for it. And Lord, we've gathered this morning not to hear from man, not to hear opinions, philosophies, theories, or ideas, but Father, we need to hear from heaven. And so as I open my mouth, I trust that you'll fill it with words from heaven, that I may speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, a demonstration this morning of the Spirit and power. And Father, what that means is I'm going to say things that are going to strike a bullseye, strike a chord with every person's heart here this morning. A room full of people going through different things, experiencing different things in their life. But Father, you're going to say something through me that is so specific and pertinent to their life. And Father, it's going to be a sign unto them that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from heaven, but also that you love them, that you care about their tomorrows. And so, Father, we're expecting great things this morning. Thank you for the change that's already happening in our lives. We're leaving here different and better than the way we came in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is Faith for Healing Part 4. And I want to read this verse here in verse 30. The Bible says here, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now that's a progression there from weak to being sick to sleeping, not talking about taking a nap, but talking about dying. And it says, "Many, for this cause many are weak, sick, and sleep among you." And then it says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And so what we're talking about with divine healing in the first 3 weeks of these messages, learning different principles as the Holy Ghost led us, how to get into healing, how to keep our healing. And the way the Spirit of God has led me in this service, it's sort of a sobering service, but to talk about the causes of sickness and disease. In verse 30, the Bible says, "For this cause many are weak, sick, and sleep." And what we're going to find out here in the Word of God is that the Bible clearly lays out different things in the Bible that talk about why people enter into sickness and disease. God's will is not for you to be sick. You are His body. You are His children. He needs a well church to do His plan. He wants you healthy and whole. But we have to understand that this divine healing, the same way with salvation, because a lot of people would say, well, if God is a healer, why are Christians sick? Why am I experiencing sickness if God's a healer? Well, I would say this to you. If God's a savior, why do people still die and go to hell? The only reason you're not on the fast track to hell is because you cooperated with what he said you could have. If you didn't cooperate with it, even though it's his will, even though he wants it for you, you wouldn't have received salvation. God does not force anybody to receive that. Well, it's the same thing with all the promises of God. His answer is yes and amen. But there's a man-word side and a God-word side. And we're learning about the man-word side. And the Bible says that there are causes here in this verse, and it talks about specific ones throughout the Bible, of why people enter into or stay in a place of sickness and disease, even though it's God's will to heal them. Now, the awesome thing about verse 31 is it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." That's talking in the context of walking into or entering into or cooperating with sickness and disease. He's saying there's causes to these things. Things, but if a person would judge themselves, what's that mean? To look inward, to see what the Word says, to line up your life with the Bible. And if you see a cause in the Word that's telling you this could be a reason why you're walking into sickness and disease, well, a person that would judge themselves would say, I need to change my life. I need to make an adjustment to line it up to the Word. That's what it's talking about, making the tweak, making the adjustment. Why? So you can walk in this divine health. And we have to understand, go with me real quick to Romans 8 and verse 1. It's a very important principle that you need to understand going forward from this place and anything that you do with God and in life. You have to understand God's will, God's take on things, because the devil's thoughts and pressures can come fast and furious to a person, and they can seem like that's what reality is. And in Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now. And I love that he put the word in there now. That means right now, this morning, this is pertinent to us. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Notice that God's will for you, that God's plan for those that are in him are not to experience condemnation. What is condemnation? Guilt, shame, you know, beating yourself up, right? Not giving yourself a pass, being very harsh with yourself. He says there's none of that in him. God doesn't want you living in condemnation. Why? In condemnation, faith does not thrive. Condemnation is the spirit of the enemy. The devil would love to get you in condemnation. And any time that you start to enter into a place of condemnation, of beating yourself up, because you say, well, but I have this, this, and this that I've done. Yeah, but you know what? The blood is the answer to this, this, and this. His mercy is the answer. Well, I wasn't perfect. Well, that's okay. He was, praise God. And we don't have to be because he was, hallelujah. And so we don't enter into condemnation. If we do, we've taken the bait of the enemy. We've walked into the trap of the enemy, because that's not a place where faith thrives and victory thrives. And so why I'm saying that is these causes this morning do not equal condemnation. When you see these causes, it's not to put you down. It's not to make you feel bad about yourself. It's not to point out how horrible you are and how much you're missing it and how wrong you are. No. They're simply what? Encouragement from God's word to tell you the reason you're struggling is because of this. Amen? You know, I played baseball growing up, and I did pretty well at it, but there were times, you know, baseball can be funny, and you can go into have streaks of slumps and things where, I mean, goodness, for 2 weeks you can't miss anything, and you're hitting the ball solid every time, and then you get up there and you can't make solid contact, you're popping the ball up in the air. Well, there's reasons for these things. And I would have the good coaches that I would have that knew what they were talking about would sit on the sideline of the dugout, you know, and when I would go through those and taking batting practice, maybe I'm popping the ball up, maybe I'm, you know, just not doing, making solid contact, and they would film me, and they would tell me, okay, there's a cause for this. You're dipping your shoulder, you're dipping your back leg, you're not striding a certain way, your hands aren't doing this, and they would tell me the causes, and those causes weren't for the coach to sit there and say, you are such a terrible player, how could you be so bad? No, it was to point out so I could make adjustments, so I could start experiencing different results. So don't get into condemnation today. God's word by nature, by its very nature, is a corrective word. But the good thing is when you funnel it through the mindset of Jesus in the word, the Bible actually says that the ones that God loves are the same ones that God corrects. And so if you're not getting correction, you might not be that loved. But that's why I always say I am by far God's favorite in the kingdom, because I feel like I'm getting corrected the most. And he said, I love the ones I correct. So when you hear these causes, again, condemnation is the wrong thing. Look at it as encouragement. My Father loves me so much to help me. Amen? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, starting to look at causes here this morning. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. Now, I know Pastor Scott was here last week, and I know if you're visiting, you're looking up there and saying, that's not the same person. But also, I know Pastor Scott got you out of here right at 11. No promises. I'll try by 11:15, but no promises on 11. But anyways, 1 Corinthians 11. I want to read a verse real quick that mentions something. So we're talking about causes. And the first cause of why people walk into sickness and disease and stay sick and disease is because of ignorance. Now, Hosea 4 and verse 6, we won't turn there, but I'll just read it to you. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice that. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, that's the truth. And think about destruction. I can't think of anything greater than sickness and disease that fits the title of death and destruction. Sickness and disease is a destroyer. It takes away from people. It's a hindrance. It hurts people's lives. And in Hosea 4:6 says that people walk into destruction purely because of ignorance. Well, the Bible lines that up here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. It says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Now, this is talking about the context of taking up communion, which, of course, when we take communion, we drink the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus, which had a purpose, and we eat the bread, which represents the body of Christ, which also had a purpose. But the Bible says here, not discerning the Lord's body. That means to not have an understanding of what the body of the Lord was for or the purpose of it. So it says that the way you're doing it unworthily is when you don't have a discernment of what you're doing. Remember Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy's husband, is with Jesus now, and he was a minister. And years ago he got saved and he was in a church and they were taking up communion. And he asked the Lord, what is this communion business? And remember the roof opened up and he saw a vision of Jesus on the cross. And the Lord showed him what that communion was. And that when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says, and we'll look at that verse here in a second, but when Jesus was on the cross, Dr. Dufresne said, what's this communion business all about? And the Lord showed him that when he was on the cross, there were words that were flying through the air. And the words, he began to read them, were different sickness and disease, tuberculosis, cancer, arthritis, different things. He said sicknesses he recognized and sicknesses he didn't. And he said the words would fly through the air, and when they would hit Jesus, his body would jolt and would jar. Well, what Dr. Dufresne was being shown was what communion was all about. He was being shown what the prophet Isaiah was shown many, many years before, which we'll look at that verse in a second. But Dr. Dufresne didn't know. And most people in the body of Christ do not know what the body of Jesus did for them by that penalty on the cross. And it says in verse 30, for this cause. So this is telling you a specific cause. It says, for this cause. Notice the next word, many. That means if you were to take a pie chart of all the sick people in the body of Christ, many of that portion, or much of that portion, would be this cause right here, which was the cause before, which was what? Not discerning the Lord's body. It says, for this cause, not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. And so there, right there, in that verse tells us one of the main reasons why many Christians in the body of Christ are sick and die prematurely, and it comes down to a simple fact of ignorance. Most people have no idea what the body of Christ is. Now, this has a twofold application, because Christ's body has a twofold application. Number one, the physical body of Jesus went through something and took on things in this earth for our benefit. But also, there's a spiritual way of looking at that as well, which is the body of Christ, which is made up of what? You and I. Hallelujah. So there's the natural body, and then there's the spiritual body with Christ being the head and us making up the different members of the body of Christ. And so it says when people don't discern or recognize or understand that meaning or the purpose of the body of Christ and how they fit in with that, the result is that many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't get to explore and experience and walk into the benefits of pizza until I what? Knew about it, right? Till I learned about this, right? And then I found one from Domino's and I can't get enough of. It's their Brooklyn style with extra bacon and pepperoni. Oh, good Lord. But I couldn't experience that, enjoy that, partake of that until I got out of the ignorant category. The body of Christ did something for you that will help you to appropriate healing in your body. And I'm here to tell you, the majority of the body of Christ, how do I know? I came out of that camp. She came out of that camp. Many of you have come out of the camp where we know the cross represents salvation, and we don't fight that and we don't argue about that, but there was a whole lot more going on the cross than just your salvation. And again, don't take my word for it. We'll look at what the Bible says. But the first adaptation for his body I want to look at is his natural body. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Again, most people don't know this. Now, this is what Dr. Dufresne said. What's this communion business all about? And the Lord showed him, took him back and showed him a vision of Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Now, Isaiah, you have to understand, is the messianic prophet. What do I mean by that? Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Jesus and different things in Jesus' life years and years before Jesus ever even stepped foot on the earth. So Isaiah's prophesying and he's being shown in the spirit realm something going on, and it's talking about Jesus here in verse 4. It says, surely he, Jesus, has borne or took on himself our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now when you read that for face value, you don't translate or make the jump to sickness and disease. But this is what you have to understand. I've taught on this before extensively, don't have time today. In my margin of my Bible, it talks about what those Hebrew words, griefs and sorrows, mean. Now, if you were to look up other places in the Old Testament where the translators took the Hebrew words, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, those words did not translate griefs and sorrows. They translated sickness and pains. Now, one way that you can understand that more fully is real quick, Janae, go to Matthew 8 and verse 17. Because no one's trying to pull the wool over your eyes here this morning. Matthew 8 and verse 17. Matthew here is going to reference what Isaiah talked about. But see, Matthew didn't have translators that took the word and made griefs and sorrows the translation. He knew what the text meant. In Matthew 8:17, we'll go to verse 16, it says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that was sick. Notice what Matthew said, that it would be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So Matthew is now referencing something that he read about back when Isaiah spoke it. Well, the translators translate it to us that Jesus took on our griefs and sorrows, but that is not what those Hebrew words mean. They mean sickness and pains. And Isaiah, he says, this, I'm seeing Jesus heal because it's being fulfilled what Isaiah said. He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Nothing about griefs and sorrows. Why? Matthew knew what the Hebrew meant. And again, for some reason, I don't know if it tripped up the translators to actually receive what Jesus did on the cross. But when you go back to Isaiah 53 in verse 4, when it says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and in the margins here of my Bible, it talks about sickness and pains. It says, surely he has borne our sickness and pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Notice verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And notice this, with his stripes, what's the stripes? The stripes that were laid in his body. The stripes that were laid in his body. Remember, Dr. Dufresne looks into the heavens and sees Jesus on the cross and sees sickness and words of tuberculosis and cancer and arthritis hitting Jesus, and he's jolting and jarring him. And the Bible says here that Isaiah said, he took our sickness. So he took arthritis. He took cancer. He took AIDS. He took coronavirus. He took it all upon himself. Praise God. And the Bible says, with those stripes, we are healed. Now you think, oh, that's talking about spiritual. You were never spiritually healed. Your spirit didn't get a Band-Aid. The Bible says your spirit was made brand new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross, he bore sickness and disease. Why? So that you through that can be healed. Just like on the cross, the Bible says that he took your sin, right? He became sin who knew no sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. By what? You accepting by faith what Jesus took, you now walk into righteousness. It's the same exact thing with healing, but many in the body of Christ are ignorant of that fact. And so therefore, for this cause, many are weak, sick, and sleep. Why? Because they don't know that Jesus, see, you know Jesus died on the cross for you. And just like when I learned about the pizza, I get the pizza. You learned about the salvation on the cross, and so you went and took the salvation on the cross. But many people don't know and understand that healing was provided for you on that cross. And many don't know it, and many don't receive it, and many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. That's what the word says. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I might turn this next one into a whole message because I don't have time to talk about it. But the second discernment that many people are ignorant of in the body of Christ is understanding their role and their place in the body. Because not only did the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ, go through things and experience things, but there's also a way that you have to appropriate this to your life and the body of Christ that you are and the role that you have. And we'll maybe take this into next week's, that part into next week's, because there's so much that needs to be said about it. But so many people are ignorant and just go about as a Christian, live in their own selfish little cocoon lifestyle, and don't realize that you have a role, that you have a supply in the body of Christ. And when that role and when that supply in the different areas that the Bible talks about is not done, it leads to sickness and disease. Yes. Amen. It does. And we'll talk about that at a later date, maybe next week. We'll see if the Holy Ghost allows me, and maybe we'll just increase this to part 5 here. But anyways, he died for you on the cross for your sins. He died for you on your cross for your sickness. Another thing people don't understand, why they don't realize, he died for your poverty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that though Jesus Christ was rich, for your sakes he became poor. Well, where did he become poor? He wasn't poor on the earth. Anything he ever needed was always there. He wasn't poor in heaven. When did he become poor? On the cross. And so many people have no idea that not only did he die for your sins, your sickness, your peace on the cross, he died for your prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. He sure did. And so the first thing we look at today of why people are sick and diseased is because of ignorance. What you don't know, you can't receive. Right? If you don't know the Brooklyn style pizza exists, how can you eat it? If you don't know that healing exists from the on the cross, how can you partake of that? You can't. Hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, and this ties in with what we just talked about. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. The second reason, if you're a note taker, why people walk into sickness and disease, reasons the Bible is going to tell us, or why people don't receive their healing, is lack of faith to appropriate that healing. Remember, we're looking at our part. Why? Because if we judge ourselves, we won't walk into that judgment, amen, that sickness tries to put on us. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, Jesus went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things? And what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah, and of Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own house, kin, and in his own house. And notice what verse 5 says. And he could, not would, did not, they didn't want to, but he could there not do any mighty work, save or except he laid his hands upon just a few sick folk and healed them. Now we know that in Jesus' meetings there were more than just a few sick folk. There were many that came that were sick and diseased. But notice here, the Bible says only a few left changed. That means many of them went home in their same conditions and failed to receive the healing that was provided for them. Other places, multitudes got healed. But here, only a few got healed. So people didn't receive their healing. Well, there has to be a cause, because there's always a cause. Verse 6 tells us what the cause was. It wasn't because God was not powerful that day. It wasn't because Jesus didn't want to heal people that day. God is always powerful, and God always wants to heal. But the Bible says he marveled because of their unbelief. Their personal unbelief led to them staying sick and diseased. What's it saying? If we don't have faith for healing, we can't expect to be healed, no matter how bad we want it, no matter how bad we need it, no matter how much he wants it and it's his will. If we don't have faith, we'll walk away unhealed. Oh, absolutely. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe it, all things are possible. It's not up to him, ladies and gentlemen. If you can believe it, all things are possible. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, many were thronging and touching Jesus, but only one got the power to flow from him. And what did he say to her? Daughter, your faith made you whole. Your faith did this. How many times did Jesus say, unto your faith be it done unto you? But here's a case where people left sick and diseased with the opportunity to be healed because they didn't have faith for healing. Now, let me just say this to you, and this might ruffle a few feathers. I don't care what you're diagnosed with. I don't care what name is on it. I don't care what outlook is on it. I don't care what kind of incurable words they're using, impossible words they're using. There is no reason that you can't have faith to believe that that thing can be driven from your body. Because a faith issue is not determined on whether or not how big the problem is. Because your God's always bigger. Amen. Your God's always stronger. When there's no way, God always has a way. Amen? The faith problem to what your incurable thing is, to your impossible thing, lies with you. Look at what the Bible says. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he knew there was no way to cure this plague of doubt and unbelief. And so therefore they were in trouble. And there was no hope for them. Nope. Jesus said, I'm going to fix the doubt and unbelief problem. Right? Because why didn't they receive? Simple cause was what? Doubt and unbelief. He went around about the villages teaching. What did he go do? Preach more word. Preach more word. Preach more word. Preach more word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, very popular verse around here. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh. I need faith for this thing that's incurable. I need faith for this thing that's been told that's impossible, that I'm feeling these things in my body. It's causing me to doubt and unbelief. Okay, if you want faith, I'm going to tell you the recipe for it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, I need to take care of this unbelief problem. So I need to get them to hear more and more. You know what it comes down to with an unbelief problem? It comes down to distractions. Because the Word of God says that if you'll hear the Word enough and keep hearing and hearing, eventually the spiritual law will take place and what God said is true and faith will rise up. Yeah, you might have faith right now in the doctor's report. Yeah, you might have faith in that word incurable. And you might believe with all your heart it's never going to change. And you might believe those symptoms in your body. And you might have faith in those things. I'm not saying you don't. But that's not what's going to get the thing to change. You need to have faith in the power of God, in the willingness of God to heal, in the want to of God to heal. Well, how are you going to trump that big, huge stronghold mountain that's in you for your sickness, for your incurables, for the doctor's report? How are you going to do? How are you going to get the faith to overtake that? You're going to hear and hear and hear and hear till that mountain starts shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and God starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know in your heart this thing's not staying. Amen. We don't want to take the time to hear. See, what's happened is some of us, when it comes to poverty and sickness and disease, we have such strongholds that are so rooted in us. Why? Because we've given so much time and attention to paying attention to the reports, paying attention to the symptoms, paying attention to words like incurable and impossible. And roots have grown in, and they're strong, and we hear one healing message, and we think it's going to come through and pull that root up out of the ground. It's not going to happen. My old house, you know, along the edge, there was some hedges, And I noticed one day there was a little thing growing up that didn't belong there. I asked somebody what that was. They said, that's a tree looking to grow there, and you want to get that away from your foundation because the roots are going to go down in, spread out, and it's not good for it. They said, you need to get that out of there. Well, where it was off the porch, and you had to go through bushes. And, you know, it's funny, you know, there's certain things I can do that don't trouble me at all. I can cut a deer open and gut that thing. It doesn't bother me a bit. But you drop a spider in front of me and all hell's going to break loose. Houston, we have a major problem. And there, down in the bushes down there where that thing was, that's where the land of spiders. I mean, that is Spider USA. I'm not dealing with that. I'm not getting down there. I'll take care of that later. Well, time goes by, you know. And all I had to do was get down in there with my thumb and my index finger, reach down, pluck that thing out of the ground by the roots, and it would have been gone. But you know what happened? Time and attention was given to that. Sunshine hit it. Rain hit it. And it started to grow and get and take root underneath the ground. And it started to grow on the outside of the ground bigger and bigger. Till one time, finally, a friend came over and he said, come on, man. That looks ridiculous. Take care of it. Okay, fine, I will. So I get in there in the land of the spiders, you know, and I reach down to pull that thing out of the ground, and I can't do it. Can't do it. So I grab two hands, try one of these, can't get that thing out of the ground. It took heavy machinery and equipment to pull that thing out of the ground, where at one point could have just plucked it out with two fingers. My one finger and a thumb. Is a thumb a finger? If it is, why do they call it a thumb? I don't know. People say you have 10 fingers. Do you? Or do you have 9 and 2 thumbs? Or 8 and 2 thumbs? Math, not my strong suit. 8. 8 and 2 thumbs. Sorry. But I don't know what we have. But anyways, I could have plucked it with these. And time and attention was given to that. Well, you know what? Sometime along the line, you got heard a word of incurable, impossible. You started these symptoms. And what you did, instead of dousing that with the word and plucking that thing out, you started to think, what is it going to look like to be sick like this the rest of my life? Incurable, and you start looking up things online and what people have gone through, and you start imagining things and what's happening. That root's getting deeper and deeper. So to yank that thing up out of there is not going to take one dousing of the Word of God. But if you'll hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, faith will rise up and it'll start to pluck that poverty mindset out of you, that sickness mindset out of you, till you're so convinced and full of faith, and doubt and unbelief will no longer be your problem. And Jesus said, I'm going to go around and I'm going to fix the doubt and unbelief problem. I'm going to make them hear it more and more. Hallelujah. Number 3, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I prove all the time that I am not the sharpest. What do they say? One fry short of a Happy Meal. That might be what you're dealing with up here, but we just trust in the power of God to help us. Praise God. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "There was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came to the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Verse 30. "Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging and you're asking who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And this is what he said to her, daughter, your faith made you whole." But he didn't stop there with his instruction to her. He says, go from this place in peace and be whole of thy plague. Can you pull that up in the Amplified, please? The Amplified brings out that original Greek. It does what it says it's going to do. It amplifies it here. And it says, he said, daughter, your faith, your trust, confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Notice this. Go into peace and be continually healed. It's one thing to get your healing on one certain day. It's another thing months later to still have your healing. Because if you don't think that the devil's going to come and try to pluck that thing out of you and put that sickness back on you, you got another thing coming. And he says the way that you stay healed, the environment or the breeding ground of healing, is the place of peace. And oh boy, does the body of Christ have peace problems. What are peace problems? Anxiety is a peace problem. He told you, be anxious for nothing. When you're anxious, you're in disobedience. He told you, take no thought. Don't be uneasy or perpetually worried or anxious about anything in your life. That's what he said. When the disciples were on the boat and thought that they were dying, which to me, that's the worst case scenario, what did he say to them? Why are you afraid? Wrong response. Faith doesn't thrive in fear. How many times did Jesus show up or angels show up and the first words out of their mouth were what? Fear not. Don't be afraid. What's the first thing he told Jairus on the way to heal Jairus' daughter? And they came and said, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Jesus looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can't get into fear. Ladies and gentlemen, your faith will not work and turn your situation if you stay in a place of worry and anxiety and fear and stress. It won't work. Peace is the breeding ground of faith. And it's so normal in the body of Christ to just worry about our kids, to worry about our money, to worry about the economy, to worry about the election, to worry about the country. It's just normal. Yet the whole Bible always points to, stop doing that. And he told this woman, if you want to keep this, you're going to have to go forward in peace. You know why a lot of people are sick in the body of Christ? Because a lot of people live a chaotic lifestyle. No peace at all. Worried about everything. And God said, don't be worried about anything. Anxious about their money. Anxious about their situations. And he told you, and we need to preach more on this for people to be helped. He told you, don't even take your cares. He said, give them to me. Cast your cares onto me. I don't want you to take them. You take them. Give them to me. I don't want you to have them. And how many times we carry these cares around? Laying in bed at night, pondering how we're going to do this. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Filled with lack of peace in our life. And we wonder, where's my healing? Where's this prosperity Pastor Mike's talking about? Your faith's not working. He told her. He tried to warn her. Go into peace. You know, when Jesus told us in Mark chapter 6, when he was talking about the birds of the air, he said, go look at the birds of the air. And he said this, before he talked about the birds, he said, therefore I tell you, stop being worried about your life. Jesus put up a spiritual stop sign. It wasn't a suggestion. Do you treat stop signs like suggestions?
Come on.
Well, I know that's a stop, but they're just offering me that opportunity if I want to. Well, you can run those stop signs. Yeah. You can run those stop signs, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. And when you go through the stop signs of God, it will catch up to you. If Jesus said, stop doing it, you know what he means? He's saying, figure out a way in your life to stop doing it. And there's a way. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Praise God. But how many people live their life not based on peace, what peace would say, but based on what pressure would say? I've watched people completely cast aside peace because of family situations. Oh, man, oh, man. You want me to start stepping on toes? I will. Blood is not thicker than water. Blood is thicker than common stinking sense. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? I have watched people throw away obedience to God and following what peace would say and what faith would say because of family situations and pressure and guilt. Don't shout me down now. Come on. It's the truth. I've been guilty of it in my own life. Sacrificing peace to give in to pressure of what family thought or what family expected or what family tried to put on me. Ran right through stop signs of what God was saying. Why? Because blood's thicker than common sense. We have this mentality. We have to do everything for family, even if it means violating the Word of God. Bull! Your job is to obey Him and to obey peace. And people do it all the time. How many people live lives based on what money would say? Based on what convenience says? The Bible says we are to go forth and be led by peace. Amen. And I've been guilty of it. I've had things come on my children before. Because someone, we had a family get together. I can remember one time a family get together, and I was told that so-and-so had the flu days before, but they're feeling good now. And I'm not afraid of the flu, but when the Holy Ghost tells me, do not have that get together, it's my job to listen to that. But you know why I didn't? Because of the pressure of the moment, the pressure of the gathering, the get-together, what people would think, what people would say, how it would cause children to be unhappy about not getting together with their cousins and cause things to be put aside and things like that. And so I just ran right through that piece. The piece was, don't have it, don't have it, don't have it. And guess what? 2 days later, my kids are barfing their brains out in the toilet because Dad violated peace. How many times do we do this? And we wonder, why aren't I healed? Where's the blessings they're talking about? And we, if we honestly judge ourselves and look, say, oh, you know what? I'm a worrywart. You know what? I'm so filled with anxiety and fears about things. Your faith's not working in that place. Jesus said, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? They don't mix. Oil and water, people. Where fear is present, faith is not. It's the truth. Fear will drive faith right out the door. And you can't afford that. And he told her, you want to be healed? You got to fight for peace. I heard one minister say this, at all costs, protect peace. No matter what it costs, protect peace. And see, we violate by pressure. We violate by feelings and thoughts. Can't be doing that. Amen. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 1. A few more to get through here. And I'll go quicker. John 5 and verse 1. Because we already passed 11. Tick tock, tick tock, Pastor Mike. I know what you're thinking. John chapter 5. This was the man at the pool of Bethesda. We're going to skip it for time's sake. Go to verse 14. He's healed now. He's freed from his sickness that he experienced for 38 years. And the Bible says afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and says unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. He says, if you don't stop sinning, a worse thing will come unto you. So, number one, we saw ignorance. Number two, we saw lack of faith. Number three, we saw lack of peace, why people are sick and don't get healed. Number four, sin problem. Jesus said that sin can cause sickness in people's bodies. He told this man, if you don't change how you're living, a worse sickness is going to come onto you. Now, it's not God giving the sickness, but it's the penalty of disobedience. That's what sin is. It's disobedience. Real quick, go to Romans 6:23. You're familiar with this verse. Romans 6:23. For the wages or the payment of sin is not life and health and peace. It's death and destruction. And Jesus told that man, stop sinning or more death and destruction are going to come on you. Now, it's not the Father giving the death and destruction, but the penalty for the disobediences. I like to use a story. You know, Caleb's 10 years old now. He can hear me. He can understand me. He can know clearly my directives to him and what he can and can't do. And one thing that he started enjoying doing was there's a tree out our yard. It's very conducive to climbing. And, you know, I'll tell him, you know, if I go inside, don't you climb that tree. You are not to climb that tree. He clearly understands me. He clearly knows, as a 10-year-old boy with a sound mind, what to do and what not to do. If he violates what Daddy says, climbs up that tree and falls out and breaks his arm, that is not the penalty from Dad. It's the penalty of his disobedience. And sin is a door opener to sickness and disease. Now, let me even back up to the verse before. What is sin? Doing what the Father says not to do. If Jesus says, don't worry, how many of you know sin's a worry? Or worry's a sin, I should say. If he says, don't be afraid, and you live in fear, we don't think of it as sin, but it's just as much sin as thou shalt not steal. He said, don't steal. He said, don't worry. Same thing. Don't do it. Yeah. Amen. It's true. And so many people continue to live in disobedience, not following the plan of God, not walking in the plan of God, violating what the Word says, violating what the Word says about their money, violating what the Word says about their love walk, violating what the Word says about what they put in their body, what they let themselves see, let themselves experience, and wonder, why am I sick? Why aren't I getting healed? Well, you might have a sin problem. Amen. It's just the Bible. I know, real popular. I'm the guy that gets to preach this stuff. I'd rather be like one of those TV preachers that just stand up there and give you a fluff sermon, you know, and just tell you what you want to hear, get the huge crowds, the huge offerings, and go home happy. But I'm a truth sharer. And Jesus said to the man, he didn't shy away from it and say, you know, tiptoe around the tube, said, you better stop sinning or you're going to be sick. Hallelujah. Number 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Appreciate your hunger for the Word. It makes my job so much easier up here. I can't tell you how the flow, it just is so wonderful to be in a flow like this. Galatians 5 and verse 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which we've talked about, which worketh by love. The Amplified Bible says faith is activated and energized by love. We know around here the importance of faith. We've hammered on it, right? But we have to understand that that force of faith is powered or activated or energized by love. Remember when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I have faith to remove all mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and give all my things to feed the poor, and though I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, though I you know, have understand all mysteries, I'm working in the spiritual gifts, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Why? Because love is the fuel to your faith. Right? A generator can power everything in your home. But if the generator has no fuel, it's not working. And so you can have faith to believe God to turn things and change things. But if your love walk stinks, your gas tank is empty. And your faith won't work for healing. Go to Numbers 12. I want to talk about a love walk story here real quick. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. You know, love walk can manifest in different ways. When we talk about walking in love, we're talking about walking in the love of God. How God treats people. Notice this, it said, now these are God's people. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, now, so Miriam and Moses are, what are they doing? Behind Moses' back.
Come on.
Chit-chatting.
Come on.
Talking bad about Moses behind his back. What's that called? Gossip? Yeah. Backbiting? Strife? And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? But notice this, and the Lord heard it. Yeah. Oh, if you believed that God was everywhere at all times. Oh, how our conversations would change. Oh, how what we allow our eyes to look upon would change. Oh, the thoughts we let rumble around in our minds, we would change and fix those thoughts. Oh, God was in on this conversation. What am I saying? When we're backbiting, when we're talking about people behind their back, when we're laying in bed and thinking terrible things, when we're holding grudges and walking in unforgiveness, your Father is right there watching the whole thing. Amen. It's true. It says the man Moses, verse 3, was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Now look what the Lord thought of this. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, listen up, praise God. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. He's saying, that's how I talk to prophets. But he says, not with my servant Moses, verse 7, who is faithful in all my house. With him I'll speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore they were not he said, wherefore how were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. God was not pleased when people were running their mouth and spreading strife and talking bad about one of God's. And the cloud departed from the tabernacle. Look at this. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Love walk problem, Miriam. Open the door to sickness and disease, Miriam. Why? Because what she was doing was also sinning. Which what? Opens the door. Amen. You know what's very interesting? When Jesus came down and appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, remember it was Saul, and he was persecuting the church, dragging men and women, putting them in prison, killing them. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul. And he heard that loud voice. Notice what Jesus said. He said, why are you persecuting me? Well, Jesus wasn't the one being hailed off to prison. Jesus wasn't the one being stoned. Jesus wasn't the one being killed and murdered. But Jesus, when his children were going through it, took it personal. And said, when you do to my children, you're doing to my body. When you backbite and grudge talk and treat Christians bad and hold anger against them, you're doing it as unto Jesus. It's the truth. It's the truth. Remember when he said, they that have got given one of these a cup of cold water in my name have done it unto me. He said, when somebody does something good like that to another Christian, he says, I take it as you're doing something good to me. Well, he's also saying, when you do something wrong like this and walk out of love and are nasty and mean and spread strife, you're doing it unto me. Oh, that'll change our mouths. That'll change our attitudes. Amen. And she became leprous. Sickness and disease, her love walk went out the window. I remember the guy, I've told this story many times, I was dealing with years ago. And this man knew healing. He knew the word. He knew God's will on it. He had went to mighty men and women of God that have tangible healing anointings, where people have had hands laid on them and walked out of that meeting changed. And he had a chronic shoulder problem. There was no range of motion. An old injury. And it hurt him so much all the time, caused him to lose sleep, throbbing nonstop. And he's believed God. He's been in these meetings. He's received his healing and nothing's changing. And it's years and years of this lifestyle of this. Finally says, Lord, I don't understand. I know your word. I know this is what belongs to me. I know what Jesus did on the cross. These people have tangible healing. I've received when I've been prayed for. What is going on? And the Lord said to him, the reason you're still the way you are is because you have not forgiven your father from years ago. Well, his father had done him wrong. His father justifiably had every reason to be upset, every reason to be mad, every reason to naturally hold a grudge. But see, we're not natural people. You need to learn to stop acting like the world. The world is eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But Jesus said in Mark 11:25, if you have anything against anybody, your job's forgive them. And the man said, the Lord pointed it out to him. He said, he's right. I've not forgiven my father. He said, from that point on, he said, I repented right in my vehicle. He He said, I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. He said, from that point on, the power of God hit him. Full range of motion came back into his shoulder. Why? He had a love walk problem. Amen. How many people come up for healing? You know, I've sat across from people that have yipped at me that the word doesn't work, and in the same breath, I've heard them just slam other Christians. And I laugh in my head and think, ha, 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 you ignorant one thinking you're going to receive healing with an attitude and actions like that. That's why we try to warn you about strife, warn you about offense, warn you about grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness. It's like drinking poison hoping the other person receives from it. And you're the only one receiving the negative effects. Philippians 2, and we'll close with this. I said 11:15, I lied. Philippians chapter 2. You got to give me credit, though, or give me a little bit of a break. This is my first time back altogether. I'm not used to this. And I wanted to get out between 11 and 11:15 to help the workers because I know they're wearing masks over there and we don't want, you know, people to have to keep those on for too long. So I'll get better as the weeks go on. Mary Jo, I promise. I'll get better as the weeks go on. She's the nursery director. And she's the one that probably has to field all the complaints. But we have good people around here that are just so willing to serve. But Philippians 2, now I saved the best for last. That way you can just be mad at me for a little bit and not the whole message because these things need to be said. Philippians chapter 2, so number one, we saw ignorance. Number two, we saw that lack of faith. Number three, lack of peace. Number four, sin. Number five, we saw walking out of love. And now we're going to look at number six, Philippians chapter 2, in verse 25. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So Paul's talking about this man named Epaphroditus. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such an reputation. Now look at this. Because of the work of Christ, he was near unto death. So this man was almost to the point of death in sickness and disease, and we think, just reading that at face value, it's because of the work of Christ. But Paul wasn't sick near unto death for the work of Christ. Peter wasn't sick to the near death for the work of Christ. Timothy wasn't sick unto death for the work of Christ. And we can go on and on and on. It's not the work of the ministry that makes you close to sick unto death, but it's when you do the rest of this verse that can cause you to be sick unto death. What? Not regarding his life to supply your lack of service to me. What's he saying? This man ran through all natural wisdom and natural precautions and expected that healing would just be his. Now, we have a smaller building. My eyeballs can only go certain places. So, to make it easier for you, so you think when I mention certain specific things that I'm not talking about you, I'll do this. So when I say something, you don't think I'm, oh, he looked right at me. I just know he's talking to me. He's talking to me. So, the Bible says that Epaphroditus didn't regard his natural life. What did he do? Didn't take natural precaution. Okay, so let me start saying some things. Your body doesn't work the way it's supposed to when you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 pounds overweight. Remember, I can't see through this. It's getting in my mouth now. Your body doesn't work properly when you decide to violate laws of rest. Well, I want my cholesterol to be different. Not the way you eat. This is called insurance. Sheep insurance. It's the truth. You say, well, I'll come up from my heart condition. No, you're just lazy. Why don't you do 30 minutes of exercise a day like the doctors recommend? Why don't you get the sleep you're supposed to? Why don't you stop putting that stuff in your body? Oh, you think puffing on those cigarettes are helping your lungs? Come on. Well, I want my healing. I want my healing. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I think I'm done mentioning certain specific things. It's the truth, people. I'm not trying to be mean or nasty. But how many times do we violate natural laws and come up and expect God to heal us? And the problem is you just need to lose some weight. You just need to get off your butt. You just need to watch what you're eating. You just need to get more sleep. You need to rest. Amen. I know it's not fun to hear these things. But a lot of times it's not the devil. It's not even a faith problem. Pastor Nancy Dufresne went to the doctor dealing with something in her body. And the doctor said, here's what I need you to do, a couple natural things. She came back 6 months later. The problem was gone. The doctor was shocked. He said, what the heck's going on? She said, I just did what you said. He said, nobody does what I say. It wasn't a faith problem. It wasn't a devil problem. It was certain tweaks she needed to make naturally, and the problem went away. How many people's problems in their joints and in their body would be fixed? How many people's problems in their life and their numbers and their blood pressure and things would be fixed with diet and exercise? Amen. Praise God. I will forever be thankful for the coronavirus mask. Praise God. One good thing came out of all this. Praise God. Keeps me safe. But I love you, but there's causes. And this man naturally violated things. It didn't matter how much faith he had, how much he's praying. If he's not taking care of his natural body, Brother Hagin said the one thing he regretted, and when a man like this says something like this, I listen. He says, I wish I would have taken better care of my body. Because you only get one. You only get one. Hallelujah. We ought to treat it pristinely. And by the way, the Bible says your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? If we would have a look at our body the way we look at other people's houses, other people's properties, right? You wouldn't come into my house and just kick your shoes off and put your feet up on the table and just leave things out and track mud into my house. Why? Because it's mine. You wouldn't just treat my vehicle any old way. Why? It's not yours. The Bible says your body is the temple and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. What if we actually believe that? We'd take care of it. We'd do what needed to be done. We'd eat right. We'd exercise. Amen? Amen. Pastor, you hypocrite. You just got done talking about Brooklyn-style pizza. I'm not saying every day eat it. Jeez. But anyways, thank you for your patience. Causes of sickness. Judge yourselves. You won't be judged. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning. Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. Thank you for the people serving in nursery and children's church this morning. Father, bless them for doing so. They're taking care of our kids, allowing us to be in here to receive in a nice, quiet environment, faith-filled environment. But Father, we're just thankful for the word. It's not the most popular and fun message to preach, but Father, these are sobering messages that keep us safe. We can't violate what you've said. Yes, you're a healer. Yes, you want healing. Yes, it's provided for us. But Father, there's a man-word side to all this. So Father, I pray that people would make adjustments where adjustments are needed, not out of condemnation, not beat themselves up, not hammer themselves, Father, but to receive this with meekness, make adjustments, walk into what you have for Him in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Thank God He made it so simple. And this is for you watching online as well. The Bible says that Jesus gave us eternal life. And Romans 10 and verse 9 is the outline of that. It says that if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you're here and you can say, I've never received Jesus, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, if you're watching online, if you have a belief of Him in your heart, you're a qualified candidate for salvation. Don't let this moment pass you by. Even with salvation, there's a God side and a man side, and man's part is to believe and to receive. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, again, we won't embarrass anybody. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never accepted Him, I'm not going to have you come forward. I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But you have to call on His name. You have a part to play. Salvation doesn't automatically come to you. And with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, you're not becoming a member of this church. You're not joining this church. You never have to step foot in here again. But don't let this moment pass you by. Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you lift your hand high in the air right now? Anybody want to receive Him that's never done that? Don't let this moment pass you by. Again, you're not joining this church or anything other than saying, I want to know Jesus. Would you lift your hand high in the air? I like to give people a moment that maybe are shy or Anybody at all, before we close the service, just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anyone? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, and so I trust that everyone here is walking in the light of salvation and has received Jesus and is heaven bound. But if by chance there's somebody in here or watching now or in the future via the archive that's not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus. Father, I pray that they would, when this service is over, that they would get on their knees and cry out to you. And that prayer would just sound something like this: Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I believe in salvation. I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean that, He'll save you. Give me an email. Give me a phone call. We'll let you know your next steps with God. He loves you so much. Let's just lift our voice and praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Of course, if anybody needs prayer afterwards, come on forward. We love you so much, Father. We thank you and praise you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for our help. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you rush out of here, don't forget, put your offerings and your predictions in the bucket as you leave. Wednesday night service at 6:30. Love you and appreciate you. If anyone needs prayer, come forward. You are dismissed. Praise God. For He is ready.